Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. And as usual, with me in the studio is my co-host, Dr. Les Olala. Doc, it's that time of the year again. We're kind of hard to believe it's Christmas.
Yeah, it goes quickly.
I love this time of the year. I love the Christmas carols and the lights. Well, I'm curious, you know, right now we're in, particularly in evangelical Christianity, there is a great controversy going on about Christmas. I mean, have you heard about all the churches that are canceling their services on Sunday because it falls on Christmas?
Yeah, I've heard quite a lot. A lot of the mega churches are assuming that no one is going to come, so they're canceling. To me, the issue is not canceling Christmas. To me, the issue is you're not meeting in church on the Lord's Day.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And but at any rate, I think there's a lot of, I think it's a lot of convenience seeking, and it's decisions that leaders make along that line. But I think when you look at the controversy, that is about Christmas, period.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, it's hotter this year than I can remember it being in a lot of years.
It seemed like a very organized attack, and it seemed like those who would be atheistic in their orientation and maybe very liberal in thinking are now trying to take the whole picture of Christ away from Christmas, and now it's happy holidays, and where the very birth of Christ is being pushed aside as the...
What do you think is driving this? This is obviously not what the first Christmas was intended to communicate.
Actually, when you look back at the first Christmas, things are not a whole lot different today than they were that first time.
Hmm.
When you stop to think of the groups, if we look in Matthew chapter 2, just as a case in point, there are three groups of people. When we look at the first Christmas, there are three groups, there are three gifts, and three words.
That all tie together.
That all tie together, that are all a picture of that. But I think if we look at the three groups, first of all, we see a lot of parallels that were true then, as they are now in Matthew chapter 2. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." We see group, first of all, the politicians.
Yeah, we have a bunch of those today.
Yeah, represented by Herod. And Herod heard of this king to be born. And obviously he did not want anyone coming on the scene who would interfere with his right to rule. It was an instant threat. The whole thought of this king to be born was a threat to his rule.
He didn't want anybody coming in that might take over, you know, what he was doing.
No, when you look at the political rule, in fact, if you were to take enough time to study just the whole history of Herod, this particular Herod.
This would be Herod the Great.
Yes,
right?
And what a sad commentary on a person called king.
Hmm.
But yet, in the political sense, we could say they abhorred Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The very thought of Christ coming was not a pleasant thought to them at all because of the threat to the lordship that they had in their own lives.
Yeah, I believe that.
When you look at the issues today, why is Christ such a big issue in this whole—
In the political arena, especially.
In the political arena. And it seems to always be centered around the person of Christ. The anger always seems to be centered around the person of Christ. And that has never changed.
Do you think that that has to do, or do you think that's because of what Christ represents? I mean, what is it about his person that would cause people to react this way?
Well, I think his lordship. The fact that I believe there are a lot of Christians even who don't want Christ to be the Lord of their lives.
Well, that's a powerful thought.
It was Herod's lordship he was concerned about. And
he
wanted
to be number
one.
And this
new king was coming.
Yeah.
And I believe in a political scenario today, we see people that are voting. It's illegal to put up a manger scene,
yeah.
The political directions that are being taken. And it's significant that everything is politically correct except the person of Christ. You can celebrate whatever you want to celebrate, but just don't bring up the person of Christ. I was thrilled on a plane coming in Friday night. I heard a businessman from Germany talking to another businessman. They both own businesses. As this man was talking to the man from Germany, he said, you know, what's happening in Europe? They're taking away all absolutes, and they're their own rulers. They, in other words, they don't want any absolute ruling over them.
Every man does what's right in his own eyes, just like it read in Judges. Yeah.
Then I thought, I bet this man is attempting to bring a witness to him. And then I heard him say, you know, the same thing is happening in the United States of America, of this controversy of taking Christ out of Christmas and turning it in. It's a holiday. It's not Christmas. It's not the birth of Christ. Of course, we all know Christ wasn't born on the date that has been set aside.
But we do commemorate that birth.
We do commemorate that birth. And even though the date is not exact, there is still a commemoration of that birth. And then he went on and began to witness. And I was thrilled. A man sitting next to me was asleep. And when he woke up, he heard the conversation. Then I gave him a bridge track.
Amen.
But he was I was thrilled that here we were flying into Green Bay, just about landing, and this man was very boldly presenting the person of Jesus Christ as the only hope of salvation.
And a guy like that today, in the scenario that we're in and what you're talking about with Herod and all of these groups, he would be almost seen as intolerant.
Yes.
You know, forcing his views on somebody else.
Forcing his views and being too narrow to say Christ is the only way of salvation. And when you look at the political scene today, there is still an abhorring of Christ. There is a resistance to Christ. I never thought I would live long enough to see the mentality that I see in the United States of America today.
And unbelievable, isn't it?
We used to joke years ago in a play that my pastor had written several years ago, what a lady overheard in a store, Christmas shopping, and they were playing Christmas carols, and she said, "Don't tell me they're trying to bring religion now into Christmas." And so
that's not a joke anymore.
Representative of of the ignorance that is there, and there were very, very clear moves.
You mentioned three groups. We talked about the political group, and they abhorred Christ. What was the second group?
Then you see here, it says, "And there came wise men from the east, and then there were the chief priests and elders." And I think we'll look here in verse 4 of Matthew 2. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born."
Now, Herod's the one asking.
So Herod is saying, where is this one who should be born? Claiming he himself would like to come to worship. And we know how badly he wanted to worship this king when he had all the
soldiers out there looking to kill him.
And killed all from 2 years and under.
Yes, that was must have been a horrible
mess. Wonder there was a Rachel weeping for her children. And we see, but the chief priests and scribes were answering Herod. And he said, he used to be born down in Bethlehem, according to Micah the prophet.
Right.
And so they had the content down pat, but they didn't know Christ. So you have another group of religious people at Christmas time dealing with content and even singing songs and even dealing with having the knowledge of the detail, the technicality of where he would be born.
Where he was going to be born, yeah.
But yet have no knowledge of Christ personally. And I think that certainly could be said today. There's a lot of technical knowledge about the person of Christ today, but bottom line, there's no heart for the person of Christ.
Well, there's a lot of talk in even religious circles. I mean, I think your illustration at the beginning is so perfect because you have a lot of evangelicals right now in these mega churches arguing and just making all kinds of noise about they've taken Christ out of Christmas at Walmart, but they shut down their services on Sunday.
Right. That's quite a significant statement that is being made, and I believe it's fairly consistent with we preach a Christ without a cross. In other words, there is
no sacrifice.
No sacrifice involved. If it's inconvenient for you, no way would we inconvenience you because that's not what we're about. We are about making everything convenient for you.
Yeah.
And that's their business and that's their accountability before the Lord. But it is a statement that even the scribes, even the religious community would have the content, mm-hmm. but not necessarily be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ in the life. And it's interesting to me that these people who had this knowledge down so pat, and when the wise men came along, that they would not have been going down there
to worship
with these wise men to worship and saying, that which we have studied is about to happen. Yeah. And they just very methodically say, oh, yeah, Micah says this, and Daniel says when he would be born, and Isaiah says how he would be born, and Micah says where he would be born. And according to Micah, just go a little further south here, and that is what we're going to find. And then the third group are the Magi. The first group abhorred, the second group ignored, and the third group adored
wow.
him. And they were scholarly people who had this knowledge, scientific,
mm-hmm.
but searching.
And they had come from afar.
And there is the difference. But you wonder, where did they get this? You know, remember Daniel was a
yes.
Magi.
Yes.
And I think Daniel's prophecy passed down from generation to generation of these Magi. And they had to have appreciated, because Daniel, as you recall, saved their hides on several
oh, yeah.
occasions, their great-great-granddads or whoever
yeah.
they were.
You know, I never thought of that, Doc.
Yeah.
That is a very interesting thought.
And so I think from generation to generation, these prophetic utterances of this Daniel hmm. passed on down, and it got them searching, when is this going to happen? Because according to Daniel, these things are really going to come to pass. But they had a searching mentality, and as believers today, we need to be out seeing those who
are searching,
are acknowledging needs. The fool hath said in his heart, no God for me. There are going to be those who will be acting very foolish. We cannot be discouraged by the fools,
That's
those
right.
who are resistant. We need to be encouraged by those who are acknowledging their need. And no matter what the scientific community is saying, no matter what the religious community is saying, no matter what the political community is saying, I know there's a humongous vacuum inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ can fill that void that I feel in my heart.
Well, in fact, that's really why he came.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole point to Christmas is God sending him to fill that void.
Yeah, he did in very complete way. And you find the whole picture, the completion of the gospel. And I believe as we go through this series, it will be a blessing to us to
yes.
see the three gifts and then the three words related
and
to
Christmas. And I can't wait. Well, Doc, this is going to be a great series of programs here in the next number of days, and we're excited to hear what the Lord has laid in your heart for our instruction. And I can't wait to hear about the gifts and the words. We certainly hope that you will enjoy a blessed Christmas and trust that Christ will be at the center of it. We are thankful for all of you who listen and would love to hear from you. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.